Gandhi and Bhagwan. In the book, The Story of Militant but Nonviolent Trade Unionism, a biographical and historical study by M. V. Kamath and V. B. Kerr, an account of India's militant, nonviolent trade union is given. It was organized in the 1920s following Gandhiji's ideals. Shankar Lal Banker was an active participant in this movement, and his exploits are chronicled therein. At that time, he was also the publisher of the monthly Young India and was imprisoned with Gandhiji for printing the latter's controversial articles in 1922. In the following article, Shankar Lal's dialogues with Gandhiji and Bhagwan and his impressions have been extracted from the above book. His notes and recollections present an insight into the mutual respect and understanding that the Mahatma and the Maharishi had for each other. The story begins. As we have seen, Gandhi had asked Shankar Lal to involve himself in the propagation of Khadi. But at one stage, he began to have serious doubts about what his role should be in the scheme of things. It was at that stage that he received guidance from an altogether unexpected source, Bhagwan Ramana Maharishi. And this came about in the unlikeliest way. In 1934, Shankar Lal was living at Mirzapur in Ahmedabad, where he met a high-ranking officer of the German Air Force and a member, besides, of the German aristocracy. The officer was staying as a guest of Ambalal Sarabhai, but took the occasion to call on Shankar Lal and Anasuya. In the course of their conversation, the officer happened to mention his interest in matters spiritual and philosophical, and wondered whether either of them had heard of Bhagwan Ramana Maharishi. To their embarrassment, neither Anasuya nor Shankar Lal had heard of that saint of Tiruvannamalai. Somewhat surprised, the German officer said, "Do go and see him and get his darshan. He is a rare personality." The fact that a member of the German nobility, a baron, and an officer of the German Air Force should have made that suggestion intrigued Anasuya, and she asked Shankar Lal the next time he was down south on his regular tours to find out more about Ramana Maharishi. In the summer of 1935, Shankar Lal was at Uttarakhand, Uti, and after he spent a few days there, he started his round of visits of Khadi centers. It was his practice to look into the affairs of such centers in Tamil Nadu and Andhra Pradesh, and then move on to Wardha to report to Gandhi. He reached Madras via Tirupur. At Tirupur, he invariably dropped in on an old friend, Mohanlal Purohit, manager of the Jeevanlal Aluminium Company. Purohit not only took a great deal of interest in Khadi, but was a great admirer of Gandhi and utilized Shankar Lal's regular visits to discuss Gandhian philosophy with him. Indeed, it was at Purohit's suggestion that Gandhi had cut an HMV disc on the nature of God and was so taken by it that he learned Gandhi's brief talk by heart. It was at Purohit's residence that Shankar Lal first heard the disc played. As luck would have it, on the day he called on Purohit, he chanced to meet the editor of the Madras-based Sunday Times, Mr. M.S. Kamath. Kamath was a great devotee of Ramana Maharishi, and Shankar Lal promptly started to ply him with questions. Kamath thereupon suggested that Shankar Lal should accompany him to Thiruvannamalai, and Purohit equally promptly lent his car for the journey. The journey from Tirupur to Thiruvannamalai took 4 hours, and the party reached there around 7 p.m. At dinner time, Shankar Lal saw the Maharishi for the first time and noticed that the latter had a luster in his eyes. Kamath wanted to introduce Shankar Lal to the Maharishi during meditation time, but Shankar Lal excused himself. Kamath did not press him. The next morning, Shankar Lal joined other guests and visitors in the prayer hall where Maharishi was present. He had plenty of things on his mind. As an inspector of Khadi centers, he had all sorts of problems to handle. But here, in the prayer hall, all anxieties seemed to vanish. As he later recorded, "Suddenly, I began to experience a strange feeling of peace. All the unrest appeared to vanish. I remembered the line from the sloka Gandhiji used to recite to me in jail in 1922, that ended with Tad Brahma Nishkalamahavi Na Cha Bhula Sangha. I am that pure Brahman and not this body made up of Panchabhutas or five elements. I had the feeling that I was the pure Brahman, and the words Sivoham, Sivoham raced through my mind. I was astonished at this phenomenon." Shankar Lal wondered whence came those thoughts, considering that he was not a very spiritually inclined person. He attributed it to the environment he found himself in. To his surprise, Shankar Lal experienced a feeling of extraordinary self-confidence and felt that the experience was real. As he took leave of Maharishi, he felt a great deal of peace and encouragement. When later that month he called on Gandhi, he narrated his experience to the Mahatma, who not only expressed his joy, but also suggested to Shankar Lal that on the next occasion he should stay longer at Ramanashramam. In the summer of 1936, Shankar Lal once again found himself at Thiruvannamalai and in the presence of Maharishi. This time he made bold to ask the Maharishi, "What books should I read for spiritual progress?" The reply startled Shankar Lal. "Books? Why books?" Maharishi queried and repeated the words, "Why books?" Then Maharishi added, "Make your heart pure and you are bound to see the light." That was to make a lasting impression on Shankar Lal's mind, and he kept thinking over it during his entire day's stay at the ashram. On the train that was to take him to Madras, Shankar Lal later recorded that around 4 a.m., he suddenly woke up and saw the picture of Bhagawan floating before his eyes. As he wrote, "I opened my eyes fully, rubbed them, and wonder of wonders, I felt as if he was standing before me. I had a continuous feeling of exultation and joy, as if there was no need to think or have any anxiety about anything in the world." Shankar Lal again reported this experience to Gandhi, who recommended that Shankar Lal visit Thiruvannamalai more often. "After listening to you," Gandhi told Shankar Lal, "I have suggested to Rajinder Babu and Jamna Lalji also to go there. They visited Sri Ramanashramam in August 1938. Shankarlal was back in Tiruvannamalai in the summer of 1937. This time, he took with him pictures of famine-stricken people in Tirupur. He was seated in the prayer hall along with others as Bhagavan was talking of self-realization and the bliss of the soul. This distressed Shankarlal, who had seen starving people in Tirupur. How? He wondered aloud to his friend Dr. Syed of the Oriental Research Institute, Allahabad, who was sitting next to him. How could one reconcile misery with the bliss of the soul? And he showed him the pictures of starvation he had brought with him. Dr. Syed did the unexpected thing. He went over to Bhagavan and, placing the pictures in his lap, said, "This gentleman here says, when there is so much misery in the world, how can we think of the bliss of the soul?" Instead of being fazed by the question, Ramana Maharishi replied gently, "But while all effort should be made to help those in distress, one should not take individual credit for the act. The Lord alone was the savior of the people." Maharishi said that he often saw people who had not eaten for 2 or 3 days, and yet they seemed to glow with some inner joy. Where did that joy come from? Only the Almighty could give it to them. When Shankarlal retrieved the snapshots and looked at them again, he was to observe what he had not noticed before. Those poor starving people engaged in breaking stones seemed to have smiles on their faces. For Shankarlal, it was a revelation. Shankarlal met Maharishi the next day quite unexpectedly. This time he wondered how marvelous it would be if Maharishi and Gandhi met. To which Maharishi replied with a soft smile, "Distance does not exist." When Shankarlal next visited Wardha, he repeated this conversation to Gandhi, who said, "Haven't you understood? Distance does not exist the way we think. I have written on the subject only 3 days ago." Gandhi called for that article and read out to Shankarlal what he had written. And since thought is a root of speech and action, the quality of the latter corresponds to that of the former. Hence, perfectly controlled thought is itself the power of the highest potency and can become self-acting. That seems to me to be the meaning of the silent prayer of the heart. If a man is after the image of God, he has but to will a thing in the limited sphere allotted to him, and it becomes. Such power is impossible in one who dissipates his energy in any way whatsoever, even as steam kept in a leaky pipe yields no power. In anyone who has to organize vast masses of mankind for non-violent action, the full control described by me has to be attempted and virtually achieved. This control is unattainable save by the grace of God. In the summer of 1939, Shankarlal's health was affected, and he tendered his resignation as secretary of the All India Spinners Association. He now turned his mind to spiritual matters. He was advised by Swami Atmanandaji and Swami Ramanandaji to devote himself to a life of manan and chintan, meditation and contemplation. He took to reading works like Shankara's Viveka Chudamani. The Swamis advised Shankarlal to withdraw his mind from all mundane activities and concentrate on spiritual study. So, after resigning from the AISA, Shankar Lal was free from day-to-day work, though he continued to take interest in the labor movement. But should he indulge even in that activity? This bothered him. Next time he was in Thiruvannamalai, he had the privilege, in the very early hours of the morning, to watch Ramana Maharishi engaged in cleaning and chopping vegetables in the kitchen. He noticed that Maharishi was going about his work with remarkable expertise. He even heard Maharishi telling a devotee how to slice a pumpkin skillfully. It was Tar Shankar Lal, a lesson for him too. Do a job, do it well, and do it with complete detachment. He could not resist waking up the next day at 4 a.m. to go to the kitchen. This time, he heard Bhagavan asking someone in Tamil, "Is banker there?" When he was told that banker was present and sitting outside, Ramana Maharishi came out with a ladle full of cooked lentils and, looking quizzically at Shankar Lal, invited him to taste it. "It is a bit hot, but I cooked it myself," said Maharishi by way of explanation. Shankar Lal tasted it and exclaimed, "Why, it is very tasty." At that, Maharishi broke into laughter and went back to the kitchen. At that point in time, Shankar Lal was later to write, he had got the answer to the problem that was bothering him about engaging himself in some activity, even while engaged in spiritual pursuits. Wasn't Maharishi telling him by example that to be working actively was as important as searching for spiritual bliss? Cleared were his doubts. He was never again to be bothered by them.